Hi, I'm Abby, and you're listening to the Fitness Drifter podcast, a body confidence podcast for men, where I try to help you shift away from stressing about things like weight, body image, abs, and dieting, to focusing on feeling fitter, healthier, and happier, and using nutrition and exercise as a positive force in your life. If you cast your mind back to the very first episode I recorded, I covered four eating disorders. I talked about anorexia, bulimia, orthorexia, and binge eating disorder. And I mentioned that I would be doing a more detailed episode on each one in future. So this is the one for binge eating disorder. And I figured I'll start with binge eating disorder because compared to the other eating disorders, it's the one I know the most about and feel the most effects from. To give you some background, I've had food binges happen sporadically for most of my life. It reached the point of switching from occasional, unemotional, sporadic binges to a more frequent disordered eating pattern in the second half of 2020. Just as an aside, I've been putting out videos on YouTube and blog posts on the website on binge eating disorder and how I'm coping with it. So if you head over to fitnessdrifter.com, you'll be able to find them. They're in a category of their own, so they should be easy to find, but I will also include a link in the show notes. And I'll also say now, if you have any questions, want to talk through my experience or any part of your own experience, please do feel free to reach out as well. So what is binge eating disorder? The definition I usually default to is that it's the consumption of a large volume of food in a short span of time beyond the point of feeling uncomfortably full. In the UK, according to BEAT, the eating disorder charity, it is estimated to make up 22% of eating disorders and is the most common specifically diagnosed eating disorder in both the US and the UK. When I say specifically diagnosed, I'm talking about the fact that there are a couple of other eating disorder labels. One is for eating disorders not specifically diagnosed, and one is around the more broadly restrictions on food. Binge eating disorder is also the most common eating disorder in men, and it's estimated in the US that 40% of binge eating disorder cases are men. Symptoms include eating quickly, eating secretly or alone, eating when you're not hungry, trying to hide how much food you're eating, and it can also manifest as weight gain. But I'll talk more about weight and binge eating disorder shortly. I mentioned that binge eating disorder involves eating a large volume of food, but there's no sort of set definition in terms of what actually constitutes a binge. There's no set number of calories or certain volume of food that makes up a binge. It's not defined that way. My understanding is that it's more down to the specific behavior pattern. To give you a couple of examples, I've had binges that were, say, 1 to 1.5 kilograms of fruit, so maybe 800 to 1,000 calories, I guess. I've also had binges that have gone up to 3.5 to 4,000 calories at their worst, and that was a mixture of peanut butter and cereal and granola and ice cream. From memory, I haven't gone beyond that, but I have seen accounts on Reddit and Twitter and videos on YouTube where people have talked about having binges that they've estimated to be as high as 10,000 or 15,000 calories. So it's a very, very personal experience. And I think something to bear in mind is that it's quite common for people to say, well, you're just eating, why can't you just stop? And so I want to explain a bit about what it feels like when you're in the middle of a binge. It's very hard to explain to someone who's never experienced it before what it actually feels like to be going through it, because logically someone would just say, why can't you just stop eating? And to be fair, if someone did put a physical barrier between me and whatever I was binging on, or they were able to hold me down and stop me, for example, I'd probably be grateful for it. And that would be enough to actually stop me. But otherwise, binge eating disorder is irrational and impulsive, and it's hard to really try and explain the sort of complete loss of control and feeling of helplessness that accompanies being in the middle of a binge. I think the best way to describe it is if you imagine when you're watching like something on TV or a movie, and you see the main character about to make or in the process of making a huge mistake, and then you're sitting there screaming at the screen for them to just not do it. I mean, obviously they can't hear you and it's not going to actually have any impact, but in my head I think that's what it feels like to me. I'm fully conscious and aware of my actions, but no matter what I do or say in the middle of a binge, there's nothing I can actually do to stop me. It just ends up sort of eventually running its natural course until I feel sick. Like I said, if someone was to sort of hold me down or take me somewhere, that would definitely hit the brakes because I can't physically get to the food. And my binge eating disorder has never got to the extent that I would go out and buy food, or that would happen when I'm outside of the house. It's happened once, but that was it. Otherwise, pretty much any other time I've had a food binge, it's been when I've been at home. And I'll talk about what triggers binges as well shortly. There are some common ones, and I have some that are a bit more out there, or I guess a bit more left field. And of course, I can't talk about what it feels like to be in a binge without talking about what it feels like after a binge. You'll feel nauseated, bloated, you'll feel guilt, shame, regret, maybe embarrassed because you feel like you shouldn't have binged. You know, emotions will be running high as well. Next, what I'd like to do is just explain my journey to, with, and through binge eating disorder. I started to cover it briefly in episode one, but I'm just going to go into more detail now. So, like I mentioned already, I've always had a tendency for occasional binge eating, especially when I started to lose weight. I used to be really good and strict and disciplined, and then treat days or cheat days or special occasions, I would kind of just throw the rule book out the window and then just have whatever I wanted. But at that time, there was never any sort of emotional fallout or repercussions or anything, and I just get straight back on track with my diet the next day. I was prone to doing the same thing if I screwed up on my diet. So I would just say, okay, I've messed up. Let me just enjoy today, have whatever I want, and then get back on track the next day. And again, there was no sort of emotion attached to it. I was annoyed I messed up on my diet, but then I would also allow myself to enjoy indulging in whatever I wanted. And I guess to an extent, at that point, it felt like a basic on-off switch. I could sort of like say, okay, today I'm just going to have whatever I want, and then tomorrow just go back to super strict diet. So that's just some background on sort of my eating habits before. Now, if we look at how it kind of went from sporadic binge eating to binge eating disorder, I think it's important to understand my history with weight. I was working from home from well before COVID. I wasn't going out much or walking much, and I was putting on a bit of weight. Not a huge amount, but I'd say in terms of where I feel fit and healthy, my weight range is 73 to 75 kilograms, and I was hovering around 78 to 80 kilograms. So a bit more than I wanted to be, but not dramatically so. When COVID hit and we were all dealing with mental health issues and I lost the job I had going into the pandemic, my weight crept up to around 82 kilograms. I can't remember how, but somehow I stumbled onto intermittent fasting to try and lose that weight. And I had time and the weather was better, so I was actually just out walking a lot more. And it got my weight down relatively easily. I got down to 71, 72 kilograms by the time I stopped trying to lose weight. But because of the way intermittent fasting was, I found I was fuller on fewer calories. So before intermittent fasting, I was probably creeping around 2,700, 2,800 calories a day, when my maintenance level is probably closer to 2,300. When I started intermittent fasting, which by the way did take some time to get used to, I was sort of eating all of my food in a concentrated 8-hour period. So when you're kind of condensing your food into that narrow time, you do have a tendency to feel fuller on fewer calories. And for me, sometimes that was 1500 to 1600 calories. At the same time, I know there's some health risks with going too low on calories, especially too quickly. So I allowed myself that sort of 400, 500 calories for a healthy-ish dessert or treat, or sometimes an indulgence at the end of the day, to hit 2000 calories. And that worked well for a while, but that dessert got drilled in as a habit and I got conditioned to expecting it. On a side note, I still have not shaken that habit and I still seem to need dessert pretty much every day. So anyway, like I mentioned, I lost the job I had going into COVID. I started a new job in summer 2020 and I was working directly with the CEO. And I did mention this in episode one, but that CEO pretty much ticked every box for every toxic trait a bad boss could probably have. So anyways, I remember very vividly one Friday at the end of August 2020. It had been a very stressful week and I was at my breaking point. I really didn't feel comfortable talking to anyone about what was going on. There was a mixture of shame just from the fact that I had already lost one job in the pandemic and there weren't really many other opportunities out there at the time. And I just couldn't face the idea of telling someone that I wanted to leave this job, which I already felt I was lucky to get. So I didn't really have any way of speaking to someone to sort of relieve that burden. I was physically exhausted and mentally drained, probably wrecked. That specific Friday night, I had dinner as normal at home with my family. I went upstairs to finish off some work. Then I came back down to unwind and watch TV. Because I was so busy earlier, I didn't have that little dessert or treat that I would normally have. So I decided to have something when I went downstairs later on. But because I was still stressed and I was still, you know, emotions are running high, it didn't hit the spot I needed it to. So I went and got myself a bowl of cereal and then it kind of cascaded from there. Like I said, I have been prone to binges before, but I think that was the first time it was triggered by, you know, an emotional pain or as a result of emotional eating. And then throughout the weekend, I ended up doing the same thing both Saturday and Sunday night. It was a mixture of regret for how I had eaten on Friday, ironically, despair about my current job, and just general fear and anxiety around how things would pan out in the future. Since then, binge eating kind of became a regular coping mechanism, and I was doing it more and more frequently. Based on my past behavior and my personality type, I would have likely ended up with binge eating disorder regardless of that night or not. That just happened to be the tipping point for me. it would have probably happened a bit further down the line anyways. My own experience of binge eating disorder does have a happier, I'm going to call it continuation rather than ending because I am still dealing with it. But just to sum it up, I left that job a couple of weeks later. And then a few weeks after that, I landed a much, much better job at a much better company that I've been and continue to be extremely happy to be part of. My binge eating is much more under control. I'm still prone to binges, but they're less frequent and they're smaller. And also because I was still active and exercising throughout and the scale of my binges never exceeded a certain point, I had some 3,500 or 4,000 calorie binges, but they were very rare. Generally, they tended to be around sort of 1,000 to 1,200. But because of that, I didn't have to deal with any of the sort of long-term health consequences of that. I did have bloating and guilt afterwards, but I learned how to help my body recover from those within a couple of days. So my own experience with binge eating disorder, I feel like, touch wood up to now, like my binge eating disorder hasn't had a huge physical knock-on impact. And, you know, hopefully I'm past the worst of it. And it's just a case of sort of staying on top of it and being mindful of my eating and my mental well-being and my behavior. Other people are obviously, they're not in the same position and they have a lot more going on and they have a lot more to deal with. So yeah, my own experience, like I said, it's not over, but it has reached a sort of much happier point for me now. Next, let's look at some of the causes of binge eating disorder. And as with every eating disorder and with every mental health issue, there isn't one specific cause. Everyone will have different things that cause it. And sometimes some people will have more than one thing that kind of tie in together. Some of the most common ones, body image issues. So if you might have been criticized or someone commented on your weight, and that could be both saying, you know, implying you're overweight or underweight, and the direct impact of that can lead to binge eating. You may have issues or past experience with weight control or food control. If there is a food you love, for example, and then you ban it completely for a few months, when you have it again, your cravings can go into overdrive, for lack of technical term, and portion control and moderation can feel very difficult. It may be a coping mechanism for some emotional trauma, whether that's a broken relationship, loss of a loved one, and even coping with another psychological condition such as depression or phobia or anxiety or PTSD. They all come into this category as well. It could be a way of coping with stress or pressure, and it can also come from a past history of emotional eating or seeking comfort in food, even if you haven't had that tendency to binge eat before. It can also cover if you have a history of boredom eating. You know, for example, your brain and body don't like being bored. They don't like that negative feeling, so you eat. This can lead to when you are dealing with other emotions they don't like, they can signal you to look for comfort in food. In my case, for example, I'd say my binge eating disorder really came from a combination of things. So body image issues, past history of, well, emotional relationships with food, a history of sporadic binges, and just coping with life as it was at that point. Usually with binge eating disorder, a binge gets triggered by something. Not always, sometimes it just happens completely randomly, but often there is a trigger. And sometimes that can tie in with the specific underlying cause that caused binge eating disorder in the first place. So, for example, stress at work or an offhand comment might guide you to seeking comfort in food. And then if you have a history of occasional emotional eating, that can kick in and your ability to moderate portion size drops. Doesn't always need a specific trigger, like I mentioned. Sometimes it's a general ongoing feeling of unease or discomfort. If you think back to the sort of constant state of dread we all probably felt during the early stages of the pandemic and lockdowns, for example. And in my case, my common ones are pressure, work stress, feeling like I screwed something up, and messing up my diet. I've also had a few less common ones. To me, they felt very weird at the time. One was once I had a binge triggered by listening to a podcast about binge eating disorder, something about listening to people talking about the foods they enjoy eating or the foods they end up binging on. Once it happened after workout, body image issues kind of kicked in and I was worried that I wasn't feeling my recovery properly. So I ended up eating more than I planned and that just kind of led me straight down a rabbit hole. I've had binges triggered by binge eating the day before. So, you know, you're just feeling that, you know, that feeling of regret, hopelessness, like you've put your fitness backward, that bloating, so it just feels hopeless, you may as well eat. Being called skinny, that still ties in with my body image issues, but I was worried I was looking gaunt or undernourished, so I ate a bit more, and or felt like I could justify eating more, and then I struggled with portion control or moderation, and feeling too happy. When you forget about any mental or emotional issues for a bit, and you're enjoying yourself, but then suddenly you find you've eaten a bit more than you normally would, and you get paranoid and you throw in the towel and you end up eating a lot more. So it's almost like you allowed yourself to relax, and because you relaxed, you almost like tell yourself you screwed something up. I have some of the common ones and I've had some sort of out there ones as well. But it's important to remember Everyone has different triggers and they are specific to each individual. Some are more common than others, but they're all valid. In terms of health impact, both mental and physical, depending on the scale and frequency of binges, it can of course lead to weight gain. Weight gain on an ongoing basis can lead to other health risks associated with it, such as cardiovascular disease, diabetes, increasing blood pressure. It is a mental health issue, so it can also lead to other issues, or it can amplify existing ones like depression, anxiety, stress. Social isolation is also pretty common because you feel embarrassed or ashamed to go out. You worry about whether you might get triggered or how you'll handle binge eating out of the house. Or if you have put on weight or your body shape or appearance has changed as a result of binge eating disorder, you might feel uncomfortable with being seen by others. The immediate impact can also lead to sleep problems, chronic pain, digestive issues. And then even just on a day-to-day basis, if you are in so much pain because your stomach feels swollen, for example, even basic movements is going to feel tough. As with all mental health issues, there are a few myths. I'm going to give up trying to say the word myths and just say misconceptions. There are a few misconceptions around binge eating disorder, so I'm just going to run through some of those. The most common one is that it only affects overweight people. Now, it is commonly linked to weight gain, either because people at a higher weight are more prone to it, or with the volume of food, weight gain is a likely outcome. But that doesn't mean only people over a certain weight are affected, or that everyone who has it gains weight. With me, for example, my BMI since I developed binge eating disorder has never been higher than 23, and I actually lost weight while dealing with binge eating disorder. That was down to a mixture of the fact that I was still active. Aside from when I had my binges, my overall lifestyle was pretty healthy, and most of my binges, while relatively high in calories, weren't enough to sort of offset the overall lifestyle I was leading. Another common misconception is that we only binge junk food. That's not true, and any food can be a binge food. I mentioned before, I've binged on fruit before. It's not particularly high in calories compared to other foods, but the sheer volume can make you sick. If you imagine having like a kilogram of mango or something sitting in your stomach and how that might feel. Also, my go-to binge food actually tends to be homemade protein cookies, which is just oats, banana, peanut butter, protein powder, a bit of sweetener, and some dark chocolate chips. And, you know, in terms of nutritional value, it's great, but I can easily go through a lot of those in one sitting. Junk food and refined foods are more common because especially if we have a history of emotional eating, those will have been our go-to foods, and those are sort of seen as treat foods or special foods. So when we are looking for emotional comfort, that's what we'll turn to. And they are processed and manufactured to create a certain taste experience. But that doesn't mean you can't also end up binging on healthier or less processed foods. Another common one is that people only binge because of a lack of willpower. I've already covered this, but when a binge is triggered, all of the conscious thought in the world might not be able to stop you. You're fully aware of what is happening. You're aware of what your body is doing, but you feel powerless to stop it. Like I said, it's like watching yourself and screaming at yourself not to do it, but just not being able to stop it. Another misconception is that it only affects women. Like I said, it's the most common eating disorder in men, and it's estimated that 40% of people with binge eating disorder are male. And the fact that I'm sitting here recording this podcast also gives you a pretty good clue. Another misconception is that it's the same as bulimia. And to be honest, some habits do overlap. So specifically the binge eating pattern, because that is a part of bulimia as well. But with bulimia, you're much more likely to try and purge or exercise off your food binge. That doesn't really happen with binge eating disorder. And one that's really critical, there's a misconception that binge eating disorder isn't dangerous. Now, compared to other eating disorders like anorexia, for example, you're less likely to be malnourished because you are getting in a greater volume of food. But that just means that the risks are different rather than that the risks aren't as bad. You know, especially if it impacts your weight, it can lead to long-term health risks around heart disease, blood pressure, and diabetes. The physical recovery from a binge can have a knock-on effect on your day-to-day life. I used to be a fitness instructor, so I'd be instructing classes in person. And I remember trying to teach classes one morning, having binged the night before, and I felt sick, I felt nauseated, I felt breathless. I was very definitely not at my best. People who deal with binge eating disorder may also have a greater risk of developing substance abuse issues. There's mental health issues around depression and anxiety. And like I already mentioned, you may become or may feel isolated or feel like isolating because there's this shame or embarrassment from having binged. If you are prone to binge eating or suspect you have binge eating disorder, let's look at some of the things you can do to help manage it. And I need to emphasize again, I'm not professional or qualified to give you treatment advice on eating disorder. For that, you'll need to speak to a doctor, a dietitian, or therapist. For binge eating disorders specifically, therapy is available. It will often involve cognitive behavioral therapy or psychotherapy. It will often address the behavior pattern and may also address how you cope with the underlying cause. So some things like how you handle stress or how you can improve your body image. It may also include weight loss therapy if that is deemed a concern and a problematic issue. That could involve lifestyle changes, guided nutrition, or an exercise or activity plan. On that note, though, if you are dealing with binge eating disorder and want some help with figuring out your own nutrition or exercise plan, do feel free to reach out to me. The details are on the website. Like I said, I cannot treat or advise on treatment for the eating disorder, but if you need help with some nutrition or some training plans, I'm more than happy to help. So that's from a treatment point of view. In terms of managing your symptoms and triggers, honestly, all of these are going to be easier said than done, and they do take a lot of practice and they do take a lot of work. As with all mental health issues, there's no quick fixes or instant solutions to make them go away. I'd say the biggest one is to try and find non-food rewards or stress relievers. So whether that's meditation or sport or hobby, something active that you can focus your energy on, something that's going to maybe use your hands. That way, when you feel triggered, you have something else you can turn to help handle or process those emotions. If you do feel a binge coming on, you can also try putting a physical barrier between you and food. It might be something like changing your setting. So if you start to feel a little bit stressed, go for a walk or get in the car and go for a drive. And if you can, stay out long enough until that feeling or that inkling has gone away. If you feel comfortable, you can also use your friends and family to help you with that. And the one that probably really worked for me is finding a purpose or something that gives you more enjoyment than relieving the pain that you're turning to binge eating for, if that makes sense. So just to put it in context, the thing that really helped me get my binge eating under control was falling in love with running again, because that was something I used to do years ago, and it's what really got me into fitness, and I absolutely loved it at the time. It doesn't have to be running for you, but this is what worked for me at the time. I also don't run that much at the moment either, but it is what helped me. So when I used to feel amazing after a good run, and I wanted to keep getting that feeling, and I hated the feeling of a bad run. If I'm bloated and heavier after a binge, I won't enjoy running, and I won't be able to get that sort of runner's high. Somehow that feeling became strong enough that I got to the point where I could have enough of a conversation with myself where I could convince my binge craving brain I will feel much better if I can wait that little bit longer for the next run rather than anything that a binge would do for me now. It's almost like I had a bigger purpose that was set up to give me more fulfillment than any easing of pain that the binge would have done. And I could kind of regain control of my own actions that way. I guess to try and simplify that, because I feel like that explanation may have been a bit convoluted, but imagine if you're in pain for whatever reason and you feel a binge coming on. It's telling yourself that rather than relieving whatever is causing that pain by binge eating now, you'll be feeling so much better if you wait until this next run and how you'll feel after that. And that'll be worth it. And I think the most important one is you need to get comfortable with discomfort. Handling and processing and coping with triggers and the urge to binge isn't easy, and it can feel very uncomfortable. But in my experience, there isn't really a way, or haven't really found a way around that discomfort, and we just kind of have to get through it. You know, if we give into a binge urge, we're sort of sedating that discomfort now, but only for it to come back again the next time we feel the urge to binge. So it'll pop up again, and then it may, you know, that discomfort may also manifest in between as you're recovering from one binge. So unfortunately, you will need to get a little bit comfortable with the idea of being uncomfortable. But if you have a mechanism in place, if you have an alternative activity to keep your mind and your hands busy that will help you calm down or process that discomfort without binging, then that can make that discomfort less uncomfortable. So that's a rundown on binge eating disorder. As I mentioned, I cover it a lot on YouTube and on the blog, links to both in the show notes, but you can also head to fitnessdrifter.com and find it all in there. And if it is something you're dealing with, any age, gender, I mean, my content is more male targeted, but don't feel like that should stop you from reaching out. Any background, whatever, and just want someone to listen, you can reach out to me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, or the website. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. As a one-man army, I really could do with all the help I can get, and you would be doing me a huge favor if you could leave a review or a rating to help me get the word out. You won't just be helping me, you might help other men show themselves some kindness and appreciate their bodies more in the process too. Thanks again.